This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're broadcasting today from the new museum in Washington, D.C., in the Knight Studio. Tomorrow on the program, after the harrowing process of collecting samples for a rape kit, many rape kits sit on shelves ignored for years. Rape victims still wait for answers. That's all tomorrow on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Tony Snow died on Saturday of colon cancer at the age of 53. The newspaper columnist, radio talk show host, and television anchor became even better known when President Bush asked him to leave Fox News Sunday to replace Scott McClellan as White House press secretary in 2006. For the next 17 months, Tony Snow brought a fresh approach to the daily Donnybrook with the White House press corps, delivering the president's message with wit and style and deflecting barbed questions with humor. After he announced plans to step down, he spoke with Michelle Norris on All Things Considered.
This actually isn't a hard job. It's a wonderful job. And I came here because I believed in what the president is doing. And knowing that a war is unpopular, in a time like this, I think there is a general suspicion about the nature of politics. It has certainly been visited on Democrats and Republicans alike in historic low ratings of congressional approval. And I think what you do in a time like this is you continue to do your best to address the problems honestly and as best you can. And if there's unpopularity, so be it. You ask yourself, what is the mission? What are the challenges? It's a very exciting time to be in this White House. And frankly, I'm sorry I have to go.
The late Tony Snow. If you have questions for Dana Perino about her colleague or her job as press secretary at the White House, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And you can comment on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Dana Perino, pleasure to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Thanks for having me.
And Tony Snow, he came in as an outsider. You were already on the White House staff?
I was. I was the principal deputy to Scott McClellan and retained that title. And when Tony came on board, it was wonderful to hear his voice just now. And we're very blessed, I think everybody is, to have all these audio tapes and videotapes to be able to remember him by. He was a giant among communicators, but also just amongst every human being. I've never known anybody quite like him.
He was incredibly deft at handling, the back and forth, the thrust and parry with the press corps.
He loved it. I think that was his favorite part of the job, was being at the podium and the sparring that went back and forth. He always did it with a smile, which I can tell you is hard to do every day.
I bet
and,
it is.
He had an ability to push back in a way that made his point with a smile and that didn't sound as sharp as sometimes I can think in I sound when I am trying to make the president's point. So we enjoyed listening to him go back and forth with the press corps. He knew the issues so well. He was also such an accomplished communicator because he had been dealing with the issues for so long. That's one of the things I really learned about him, is that not only did he do his homework, but he also had just been steeped in the debates for years and years, and I think that helped him be a really good press secretary.
Yet when he started, he knew the issues, fluent with the languages and all that sort of stuff. He didn't necessarily know what the White House position was.
That's true. And that was one of my jobs, was to help him. And the other thing is, I've talked to Ari Fleischer about this, who was the first White House press secretary for President Bush. When I first got the job in August of 2007 to take over for these last 16 months, I said to Ari Fleischer, I said, "You have no idea how hard it is to remember everything that we have always said." And Ari Fleischer said to me, "Well, just imagine when we hadn't ever said anything at all, and you had to figure out what it was going to be." So I guess you could look at it both ways. But yes, that is one of the things that we had to do. And one of the things in particular that we had to do is help Tony on the foreign policy aspects of the things that we deal with. And there's also things that you would say on a radio program that is your own radio program that you wouldn't necessarily say because of the impact it might have on a situation overseas.
Or on financial markets or anything else. You're up there. And
when you're asked a question about the dollar, there is a set answer and you have to give it every time, no matter how frustrating it might be to stick with that line.
And you make a joke and all of a sudden you've committed policy.
Absolutely.
If something happens, the market goes...
Sure. He never did that, though, must be clear.
But there must be an inordinate temptation, and I'm sure you felt it too, that, I don't necessarily know the answer to this question, but, I think I know what the president or the White House would say.
Well, a president's press secretary has a relationship with a president, any president, hopefully they have this relationship where they have a pretty good idea of where that president stands on principle. And luckily for us, we've had a president where we know where he stands. And so you have some leeway there, but it takes a discipline to make sure that you don't answer a question that you're not prepared to answer. And it's one of the things that I've done, which is to say, I just don't know the answer, but I'll get back to you. And we do that from my office.
And you have to skip the temptation, I'm sure, to think of this as a television show where you're one of the you're the star. It's not. You're there for another reason.
You know, I think that I could a little bit more remember that it's about television than just about the answering of the questions back and forth. And I think Tony Snow really did do that well, the television aspect of it. It's incredibly important, not just for communicating here in our own country, but it's amazing to me how many people overseas actually see the briefings, that are listening to what America says, they're wanting to know what our leadership position is, and in many places they're wanting to know if we're coming to help them.
We're talking with Dana Perino, the White House Press Secretary, about her colleague, Tony Snow, who died this past weekend. If you'd like to join the conversation about Tony Snow or ask her about her job as White House Press Secretary, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Let's begin with Robin, and Robin's calling us from Cincinnati.
Hometown.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
I was calling because I went to high school with Tony, Princeton High School, located in just a little north of Cincinnati, Ohio. And a lot of us, obviously, from the class of 73, have been talking and then communicating and emailing over the last few days. One of us was actually had emailed and gotten a reply from Tony. Kind of it says a lot about his about who he is. I really appreciate, you know, Dana recognizing that he really was a one-of-a-kind guy. But his email was, you know, no one had heard from him for a while, and so we were, you know, getting a little concerned. And so the president of our class, Dennis Hensley, emailed him and said, "Where are you, buddy?" And he wrote back, "Ah, the Pac-Man hasn't eaten me yet. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm here spending time with my, you know, with Jill and the kids." And, you know, he was one of those guys when he came to our last reunion, which was 2005, 3 years ago, he'd already had his surgery. And, you know, looking a little thinner than usual, a little grayer on top. But when I approached him, you know, to catch up, he asked him, certainly, you know, "How are you doing?" And he put both his hands in front of his face to stop me. And he said, "I'm fine. We're not talking about that. I want to know how you are." Mm-hmm. And that just really says everything, I think, about Tony. I think we talked today, a couple of us, that I think he would get a real charge out of the fact that so many of his old friends have been back in touch, you know, over the last few days. And we're planning to do a memorial program here in Cincinnati for his friends who can't get to Washington tomorrow. And really hope, we already have a scholarship fund at the high school, hope to initiate some fundraising to get a scholarship in his name.
What was Tony Snow's best subject in school?
Oh, gosh.
I think it was math.
Yeah?
I do. I think he was a math major in college and studied philosophy as well, which is one of the reasons I think he was such a great debater.
That's an interesting diversity. I never did well in the subjects where there was only one right answer.
Well, I was in a philosophy class with him at Princeton. We had, back in the day, No Child Left Behind, which, by the way, we were engaged in several discussions about, since I was the director of communications for the district for the last 3 years. But he really kept that philosophy class quite lively. I do remember that.
Robin, thanks very much for the call and for the reminiscence of your friend Tony
Snow. Thank you.
Good luck, Dana.
Thank you so much.
Let's get a question from here in the audience at the museum.
Hi, we all miss Mr. Snow, but my question is for you. What do you suggest for young girls to get such a position as you are in?
That's a great question, and I'm glad you asked it. It's one of my favorite subjects to talk about. There's wonderful opportunities for girls today, and we owe a lot of our opportunities to women who have come before us. Our mothers, grandmothers, and great-grandmothers who paved the way. And I'm the second White House press secretary, a woman White House press secretary. Dee Dee Myers was the first in the Clinton administration. She and I had lunch, and we've gotten to be good friends. She and I have had a very different experience at the White House, and part of that is because of her being the first, and being the first is harder. But a couple of things I would point out that are specific things that I think young women can do and that families can do together. When I was 8 years old, I was growing up in Denver, and my dad came up with this idea that I needed to read the Rocky Mountain News and the Denver Post. We got both at our house, and be ready to discuss an article by the time he got home. And so I'd get home from school, and I would undertake the project. And then when he got home, he would change his clothes. And then while my mom made dinner, we would discuss the articles. And that's how I got involved, or interested, I should say, in current events and public affairs. And I think that was really helpful because my dad also would debate the issues with me. And we would talk about all sorts of different issues, from education and, at the time, certainly Ronald Reagan coming on the scene, and who I just was enthralled with as a president. But my father always did push us to think about alternative points of view. Another thing that my family did was help me know that it was important to serve others. We were very involved in helping new immigrants and refugees to our country to help them get settled, and I think that that helped me realize that there was a to whom much is given, much is required. That's something President Bush says all the time as well. I think that helped. But also, I think, take the tough classes. Even if they sound hard or if they're going to be tough, I would say young ladies need to make sure that they continue to push themselves. And one of the ways to do that is through the great academic opportunities.
And so if your father asks you to analyze an article, it's not going to be, is this Elway's year?
You can ask the people I work with. I kind of skip the sports page.
Thanks very much for the question. Appreciate it. I'm sorry, did you have a follow-up?
Yes. Would knowing your history, the country's history, the world history, help at all as well?
Certainly, and it was important. All the things that you study in school are very important, but reading a variety of material is important. If you're here in the Washington, D.C. area or in your own local community, hopefully there's a place where you can go and learn a lot, like here at the museum or at the various museums we have here. But I've learned a lot on the road, and I've been fortunate enough to travel with President Bush to many different places and learned about the root causes of the problems in the Middle East and why we're dealing with the problems we have now. And that's helped me tremendously be able to be a more effective spokesperson at the podium.
Thanks again for the question. We appreciate it. You were talking with Dana Perino, the White House press secretary. Her friend and colleague Tony Snow passed away over the weekend of colon cancer. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's a question we got from our blog. Watching shows like The West Wing gives us a look at the inner workings of the West Wing. Is your job as press secretary anything like what we've seen on TV? Do you have regular access to the president and the Oval Office? That from Michael.
In that respect, yes. I am very lucky and blessed to have this opportunity to serve our country and in particular President Bush. From my perspective, it's one of the best jobs I'll ever have in my life. And I do have access to the president every day. If I need it, I can go in and knock on the door, and he's very accessible to me. But I'm also very fortunate to work in a White House where the press office is included in the policy development discussions along the way. So that helps us be much more integrated. And when it comes to The West Wing, the TV show, I'm thrilled that it's one of the most popular shows in Europe right now, actually, on syndication. So people are learning about our country. I think The West Wing did quite a good job of talking about how the White House works. Of course, it's much more dramatic on television.
And much quicker.
Much quicker. And you don't make decisions about life or death in a hallway.
And people are acting not getting sleep as opposed to actually not getting sleep.
That's right.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Eric. Eric with us from Hilton Head Island in South Carolina.
Oh, hi. Understanding that whatever administration there's somewhat of an antagonistic relationship with the press corps. Did Tony ever feel that the press corps was unfairly liberal? And if so, did he express frustrations about that? I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks for the call, Eric.
Thanks, Eric. Sure, there are times when you think that maybe an individual within the media had been unfair, but he didn't paint them, nor do I paint them with a broad brush in that regard. And if he did have a problem with an article that was written or a story that ran on television or even on the radio, he would definitely respond and push back in a way that used the facts in order to respond. And I mean, we try to continue to do that today.
One thing that has changed is the nature of the media. I mean, it used to be pretty simple. You got the Washington Post and the Washington Times and the New York Times. How do you decide which electronic media get in? And I'm talking obviously about people who are online, which is now such a big part of the media environment.
It is. It has changed a lot. I was first a press secretary on Capitol Hill in late 1995. And since then, it has just changed dramatically. And I actually think that I'm going to have to spend a little bit of time of thinking about the changes in the media once I'm finished with the presidency, because we are so under the gun now with so many different media sources, but so are the reporters. And I know that some print reporters who work for the New York Times or Washington Post or Chicago Tribune, they're expected to file 3 news stories a day on the website, plus do a podcast, and the next morning have something for the paper. And it's they're doing more with less, and I don't know if we're all served well by it, but I think that the new mediums are encouraging and good. It's just it's going to take a while to sort out.
Let's see if we can get Jack on the line, and Jack is with us from Chicago in Illinois. Jack, are you there?
Yeah, hello. Yeah, I wanted to get this on the air. I have a very close relative in the upper echelon of the Bush administration, and many of my relatives became very disillusioned with how people appeared to be and what they really seemed to come out to be in the administration. And the mother of this relative who's in Washington said, please don't tell me that Tony Snow is going to turn out like that. And my relative said, no. He said, Tony Snow is one of the sweetest men I've ever met.
And he was certainly, as he was the same person in private that you saw in public. I can assure you of that.
Yeah, that's what she was afraid wasn't true. And he said, no, he's just what he appears to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks.
Jack,
thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it. And Dana Perino, I was going to ask you to summarize something, but ending by with a phone call that said Tony Snow was one of the sweetest people that he had ever met, I can't think of a better way to end.
He is, and I would just ask everyone to keep his very dear wife, Jill, and their lovely children, 3 of them, in their thoughts and prayers, because they really need them right now.
Dana Perino, thanks very much for
being
with us today. Thank you. Dana Perino is the White House press secretary. She was with us here in the museum in Washington, D.C. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.